Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
My dad taught me a lot, including how easy it is to forget to cancel things. So I downloaded Experian, my BFF, big financial friend. Experian could help me cancel my unused subscriptions and lower my bills, saving me hundreds a year. Get started with the Experian app today. Your big financial friend's here to help you save smarter. Results will vary. Not all bills or subscriptions eligible. Savings not guaranteed. $631 a year. Average savings with 1+ negotiations and 1+ cancellations. Paid membership with connected payment account required. See Experian.com for details.
Experian. We do this too, we're bringing that fire. Talking real talk, Kentucky's on fire. From bourbon to ball games, we got that flow. On the We Do This Too podcast, yeah, you know. From country roads to the city lights, they bring the heat, man, every night. We do this too, let's make it clear. If you ain't listening, you ain't here.
Welcome back, y'all. It's another edition of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. And as always, we are presented to you in partnership with brands that we feel represent the very best of the outdoor industry. So before we get started, we'd like to give a special shout out to Moultrie Products, Uhler's Archery, Threads Custom Bowstrings, G5 Outdoors, Blackburn Apparel Company, Deer Pip Scents and Lures, Vision Clothing, Bluebird Waterfowl Company, Angry Chicken Outdoors, Alps Outdoors, and last but certainly not least, a special, special shout out to the good folks over at Briley's for leaving a legacy of shooting innovation. Whether you need new cameras to elevate the scouting experience, new arrows, or anything for your archery setups, clothing, scent, or whatever it may be, as a supporter of the podcast, you can use promo code WDTTPROMO, that's WDTTPROMO, for 15% off anything on the website at Uhler'sArchery.com. Some exclusions may apply. With that being said, let's dive into another episode of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast with your host, Mr. Courtney Williams.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Williamson. And today we're going to dive into a topic that might surprise some folks. We're going to talk about Jesus and hunting. Can you be a follower of Christ and be a hunter as well? What does the scripture say about our relationship with animals, nature, and the pursuit of animals? You know, let's talk about it. I've gotten a lot of questions from some people, you know, about my relationship with Christ and me being an outdoorsman. You know, I think they had a problem with the pursuit of the animals that we take, the killing of the animals, the harvesting and everything. So, you know, let's just take it back to the beginning here. I've got some notes jotted down here, and I'm going to try to get through this. This will probably be a short podcast, but short and sweet, but it's just something that I just wanted to get out there to the masses. Whether you're a believer or you're not a believer, if you're not a believer, really suggest you get hooked up with somebody who is a believer and get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be the best decision that you ever made in your life. I know personally in my life, you know, he's changed me a lot since I was a youngin'. I've seen the power of prayer work with my own two eyes through my family, in my family. I've lost a lot of loved ones, but I've also seen what Jesus can do with some of your loved ones, you know, turning them around and just completely changing their lives. So let's talk about it. So hunting itself, you know, it's older than civilization. It's older than sin. Genesis 1 says God gives humans dominion over animals. But in Genesis 9, it goes on to say after the flood, God permits eating meat, you know. You know, think about your older hunters, your hunters and gatherers and stuff like that. And even in the Bible days, you know, David fought lions, you know, bears. He was a shepherd, you know. And, you know, these people in the Bible, you know, they're not cartoon characters. You know, these are real people living close to the land. You know, Samson, strongest man that ever lived on earth, you know, fighting lions, fighting the Palestinians, you know, just these are not characters that you see, you know, on TV. You know, now some of these new Bible shows or whatever they got on TV now, they kind of make them into cartoons, you know, to help kids more, you know, more understand, even some of the adults. But these were real life people, you know. Genesis 9:3, everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. But dominion doesn't mean domination. God calls us to stewardship, responsible care of what he made. Hunting at its best isn't about just going out there and killing everything that moves. You know, it's about provision. It's about connection. It's about respect. You know, I think that's where hunters get a bad rap, because everybody thinks hunters just want to go out there and just kill everything that moves. That's not the truth. You know, everything that most hunters that I know, even myself, everything that we kill or harvest, we eat. You know, that puts food on our table for our families. We don't have to go to Kroger. We don't have to go to Walmart. We don't have to go to Save-A-Lot. We don't have to go to these places to get our meat, because we go out in the wilderness to harvest our meat. And it's something about you hunters out there, I know you'll back me up on this. It's something about the taste of something that you harvest yourself. It just, I feel like it just tastes 10 times better, but back into it, you know, going down my little list I got right here. Jesus himself, he wasn't a hunter, at least as far as we know in the Bible. It doesn't say anything about him, you know, hunting or anything like that. He was in the wilderness a lot, talking to the masses, but he was a carpenter by trade because of his father, you know. But he was very deeply connected to nature. He fasted in the wilderness. He talked about birds, flowers. He called fishermen, as his, you know, some of his disciples are fishermen. You know, I'll make you fishermen, fishers of men. He cooked fish over a fire after the resurrection. There's a ruggedness to Jesus that we don't talk enough about. Jesus is responsible for the biggest fish fry ever in life. 2 fish, 5 barley loaves of bread. Much as I love fish, I ain't never been to a fish fry like that where the fish never ran out, you know. I'm probably gonna start rambling here in a little bit, so y'all just stick with me. But you know, when I'm in a hunting blind, you know, before the sun comes up, I always say a little prayer. You know, just thank you, Lord, for letting me be out here, being in your, you know, something that you created. Thank you for letting me be out here, because there's somebody out there that wants to be out there that can't because of an illness, because of family issues, just because of something, work, something. So I always want to give thanks every time I go out there for him allowing me to be out there in his wilderness. And when you hear the world wake up, you know, the turkeys start gobbling, the crows start crowing, you know, the birds start chirping, the squirrels. Like it's amazing just to be out there and just watch and hear everything come to life. And you just sit back and think, like, the Lord made this. Like, we're just a small part of this world. If you look at the trees, you look at the grass, you look up at the moon when you're walking into your hunting stand. That's all huge stuff. The sky, like, we're just a small, minuscule part of this world. You know, and if you think, you know, Jesus walked this earth for 33 years. And you just sit there and you just think, like, Jesus was walking earth, you know, trying to get people to convert to him and everything like that, and performing miracles and everything like that. And he walked these kind of woods that we're walking now. You know, there wasn't a lot of roads. You know, there wasn't roads and stuff back then. You know, you had these little dirt paths that he was walking on. You know, he had to walk through woods. So you just sit back and think, you know, I'm not just sitting here in my blind waiting for a deer to come across. I'm also there listening. You know, that's where me and God have a lot of long conversations, is in the blind, you know, when I'm out there hunting. You know, I just take a few breaths, inhale, exhale, in through the nose, out through the mouth, pray, and then I'm just sitting there, just listening for God. You know, we have a lot of long conversations out there. You know, I ask him a lot of questions, pray to him, you know, God, thank you for my family. Thank you for my son. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my job. Thank you for health. Thank you for strength. Thank you for all that. And if it be thy will, just help me to continue to have all these things.
In your name I pray, amen. You know, it could be just something as simple as that. Let's talk about heart behind hunting. Are you hunting to boast, to destroy, or to provide? Have you ever asked yourself that question? The Bible talks a lot about motive. Proverbs 12:10 says, "The righteous care for the needs of their animals that extends how we hunt." Just think about that for a second. The righteous care for the needs of their animal. You know, just think about that. You know, everybody wants those likes. Everybody wants those comments on Facebook, Instagram, you know, after you harvest an animal. You know, hey, congrats, great deer, great turkey, great elk, great whatever. But is that all you're living for while you're out there hunting? Is that all that you want to get out of hunting is to get those likes, to get those comments? Do you want to just boast? Or are you out there just to kill everything, to harvest everything that you can, to destroy by any means necessary, taking bad shots on animals, you know, not taking ethical shots? Are you out there to destroy? Or are you out there to provide food for your family, trying to take the most ethical shot possible to put that animal down as fast as possible? Because we owe it to the animal. You're out there hunting any animal, you owe it to that animal that you're harvesting, that you're stalking, to put him down as fast as possible where he doesn't have to suffer. Are you using what you harvest? Are you honoring the life that you're taking? Are you passing on respect to the next generation? You know, these are all questions that I get a lot from non-hunters, you know. Now, as hunters, a lot of us know this already. We're not out there, most of us are not out there just to kill everything that moves. You know, we're out there to provide food for our families. We're out there to enjoy ourselves. You know, we're out there trying to take hunting, fishing, hiking, woodsmanship to the next generation, passing that on to your son or daughter. I know 95% of us, you know, when we go hunting, we're taking somebody with us. We're taking our sons. We're taking our daughters. We're taking the next door neighbor's kid, or we're taking the next door neighbor that you've known for 20, 30 years. We're taking them hunting. You know, we're trying to pass that down to the next generation. You know, and I got a story, you know. I took somebody hunting for the first time. I think I was my junior, maybe my senior year of college. Got permission to go deer hunting. And I'm new to deer hunting at this point too, because, you know, I didn't grow up hunting deer. I grew up hunting rabbits and squirrels with my dad and stuff. So this was something new to me also, but I had harvested a few deer, so I kind of knew what I was doing. So took my buddy out, you know, got him outfitted. He wanted to shoot a doe, you know, for the meat. You know, he was in college, but his family back home was having a lot of issues with food, losing their jobs. You know, they grew up kind of poor, but, you know, he wanted to make something better out of himself. So, you know, he used the financial aid process to get himself through college. And he's like, "Hey, Courtney, you know, I want to harvest an animal to take back home for Thanksgiving." I said, "Man, you know, let's do it." took him out there, got permission on this piece of property, got a blind set up out there probably 2-3 weeks before the season. You know, Kentucky, we can bait. So, you know, I threw some corn out there on the ground and, you know, put a trail camera out there. And it's back before, you know, trail cameras sent images to your phone. So you had to go out there and check it quite often. So went out there and checked it one weekend. There's plenty of does coming through. I said, hey, man, this is going to be an awesome time for you to harvest an animal to take home for Thanksgiving. And our season here, gun season, is usually the second week of November. It's a perfect time, you know. Took him out there. We sat there for probably 35, 40 minutes, maybe an hour. And here comes this doe coming out of the woods. And we're set up kind of on this fence row that leads into the woods. So you got woods on the left side and everywhere else is pretty much like open, like an open cornfield that they just cut, like a cut cornfield. So this doe walks out probably 60 yards. He, you know, she comes a little bit closer, about 45 broadside. I was like, hey man, take the safety off, squeeze the trigger, take your time. You know, he lets off, squeeze the trigger, boom. See where he hit the doe in the side. She kind of jumps a little bit, takes off running. We see her fall in the cut cornfield. And, you know, I'm pumped for him, man. Yeah, man, congrats, man. You got your first deer. I look over to him. He's in tears. Like, bawling like a newborn baby, crying. Hey, man, you okay? Yeah, man. It's the first time I've ever taken a life of an animal, but I know that animal is going to feed my family. That has stuck with me the whole time that I've been hunting, man. To be with him the first time he harvests his first deer, and to know that that deer is going to feed his family through the holidays, I can't tell you the type of emotion that was going through me with him at that moment. You know, we shared a moment right there. And, you know, I was like, you know, let's give her some time, you know, to make sure, you know, she passes away and everything. So we sat in the blind for like 30 minutes. We're sitting there just talking, laughing, high-fiving. You know, we're not crying at this point, you know. And I'm not an emotional guy, but I'm a lot more emotional now than I was back then. But then I was not an emotional person at all. You know, just hearing him say what he said, man, it just hit me, you know. So we waited about 30, 45 minutes. We go get it and go get the doe. And he just kind of leans down there with her. And he's like patting her on the back like a little puppy. You know, like a puppy come up to you, you know, and you're petting it. He's kind of just sitting there stroking on, you know, stroking his back and whatever. And he just looks up to the sky and says, thank you. And he looks at me. He was like, thank you. I said, man, you did the work. I said, I'm just glad that I could be here with you, you know, to experience this. And now, you know, his family is in a good spot. He ended up graduating college, helping his family out there in a great spot. He's a big time hunter now, you know. Those were his humble beginnings. And I think he realizes the reason he goes out there every day, you know, he could provide food for his family. And I'm thankful that I was out there with him when he harvested that animal. And it was an awesome, awesome time. And, you know, we shared a moment in that. And we're good friends still. We still talk on the phone every now and then. We don't talk as much as we should, you know, cause you know, we're busy with life and life happens, but
you know, your true friends, you don't have to talk to them every day. You know, you can talk to them once, twice a month, but you know, when something goes down, they're going to be right there for you. Now, can hunting be worship? Can you praise God through hunting? In my opinion, hunting can be worship. Not because the kill is sacred, but because the whole process invites you into humility, patience, attentiveness. But you can't rush it. You can't fake it. Just like faith. Faith, all you have to be saved, to inherit the kingdom of God, is a faith of a mustard seed. That's what the scripture says. Mustard seed. Do you know how small, tiny a mustard seed is? It's super small. Hunting can be worship. You're out there, you harvest an animal, you give thanks for that animal, you skin that animal, put him in your cooler, take him home, cut that animal up, put him in your freezer, you know, eat it right away. Whatever, but you're going to give thanks for that animal that you harvested. You should give thanks for everything. You shouldn't wait until something bad happens to praise God. You should also praise him in the good times, the good and the bad. But if I'm doing good in life, thank you, God. Thank you for allowing me to do good. Thank you, you know, for my health. Thank you for my strength. But even when those storms do come, those bad times, you still want to praise God. God, I know I'm going through a storm right now, but I know you're going to bring me out of it. And just leave it to God. That's faith. Don't keep going back to it. Put it at the foot of the cross. Walk away. Let him deal with it. If not, you're going to drive yourself crazy. Those storms are going to happen in life. You know, you're going to have some money issues. You're going to lose a job or two. You're going to lose your girlfriend. You might lose your wife, your husband, your spouse. They might break up with you. You're going to have some deaths in the family. But those storms that you go through are building you up. They're making you stronger. You just give those burdens to the Lord, leave them there. Pray. I'm going down my little list, guys, so just bear with me. Pray before and after the hunt. Like I said, when I get in there, I'll say a little prayer, do my little breathing. If I don't see anything, that's fine. After the hunt, when I'm walking back to my truck, when I get in my truck, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be out here, because there's somebody out there that's not allowed to be out here right now, or not, they can't be out here. I'm not going to say not allowed, but they can't be out here. They want to be out here to experience this, but they can't be out here. That's something right there to be thankful for, that you have enough, your health, you got enough strength. You're in good enough shape and health to walk out in the woods and hunt whatever animal that you're after that season. That's something to be grateful for right there. Take your Bible with you in the stand. You know, do some reading. You know, the Bible can be very difficult to understand. But they have different versions out there that doesn't sound like Shakespeare. The King James Version is very, very, very hard to understand. So you can get the NIV, the ESV. There's a bunch of different Bibles that you can get to help you understand. They also have study Bibles that you can get. Take them to the stand with you. You know, in the morning, you know, when you got that headlamp on and you're walking through the woods, you know, say a little prayer, break that Bible out and just read a scripture, you know, read a verse or two. And once that sun comes up, you know, then you're looking out trying to find that deer, or that elk, or that turkey or whatever. But yeah, take your Bible with you. Reflect in silence. Use the stillness to connect with God. You know, sometimes those early mornings, so my farm that I hunt is typically an afternoon spot for deer. I'm talking about deer right now. Me personally, I'm talking about deer. It's typically an afternoon spot. I will go in the mornings because you might get lucky, especially during the rut. You never know what's going to come through, but typically it's an afternoon spot. So some mornings, you know, I'll see some does come through, see some turkeys come through, you know, but I'm after that big buck during the rut. You know, you want to get that big boy. But sometimes in those times when you're out there where nothing's moving, you're sitting there cold, you're sitting there freezing, you know, everything's still, use that time to connect with God. Just tell him, you know, what's been going on in your life. He knows what's been going on in your life, but just talk to him. You know, if you're having money issues, if you're having marital problems, if you're having trouble putting food on the table, you know, just talk to him in those still times that nothing's moving, everything's silent. Use those times to connect with God. Hunting doesn't sit outside of your faith. It can sit right in the middle of it. Jesus may not have tracked deer, but he walked close to the earth. And when we do the same with reverence, gratitude, and purpose, we're honoring our Creator. We are honoring the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father God. Like I said, Jesus walked the earth for 33 years, performed all kinds of miracles to people, you know, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, healing the sick. He walked very close to the earth. And when we are walking to that deer stand, from that deer stand, just walking through those woods, heading to our spot or leaving our spot, if you have gratitude for being out there, you have that purpose for being out there, you have that reverence for being out there, you're honoring God without even knowing it. You're honoring God without even knowing it. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Think about that for a minute. This goes back to when I'm saying, you know, reflect in silence, use the stillness. You know, when you're out there, those times where nothing's moving or whatever, just be still. Just listen. Keep your ears open. Close your eyes for a minute and just breathe. Say a little prayer to yourself. Try to connect with God right there. Just be still and know that He is God. This is something that's been on me for a while, guys. Sorry, this is not all about, you know, turkey season right now. Turkey season is in here in Kentucky. You know, I know a lot of people are looking for those podcasts about the turkeys and whatever, but I just wanted to do something different for this podcast. Like I said, it's something that's been on me for a while, and I hope you guys liked it. If you know today's episode, you know, stirred up something with you, you know, share it with a friend, you know, leave a comment, leave a review for me. Send me a message on Instagram, Facebook, wherever, and just next time you're in the woods, bring Jesus with you. You know, just give Him that thanks for being out there. Give Him that gratitude for allowing you to be out there. You know, I grew up small town Kentucky. You know, grew up Baptist. There were two African-American churches in our town, one Methodist, one Baptist. We went to the Baptist church. We traveled all around. My family actually had a singing group back in the day called the Spiritual Lights. And we used to go everywhere. And I can just see now as a kid, us packing up, going to these different churches, staying there all day long. You know, and I'm like, why are we going to all these churches, like singing? But, you know, the older I got and the more I started to walk with God, you know, I understood it a little more. You know, I grew up in a very religious family. We've got two pastors in the family, my uncle and his son. Every Saturday morning, my mom would have the Mighty Clouds of Joy or some type of gospel playing. I knew it was time to get up, and I knew it was time to clean the house. You know, she played gospel all the time, and I knew those Saturday mornings when I heard Joe Lagon of the Mighty Clouds of Joy, it was time to get up, and it was time to clean the house. But I listen to gospel a lot now, still. I still listen to blues, still listen to hip hop and stuff, but you know, those old spirituals that you know, grew up in the church, you know, hearing as a kid, they still resonate with me, you know. And you're going to go off path, you know, you're going to go searching for what you think is the truth. You're going to go off path. You're going to go away from God at some point in your life. But you may not. Most people, they do, you know, because we're all sinners. Nobody's perfect. But God will always bring you back. You just got to listen and be still. You know, He'll bring you back. You know, I haven't lived a perfect life. Nobody's lived a perfect life. Nobody's perfect. There was only one perfect person in the world. It was Jesus Christ. 33 years on earth. And right now, He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, looking down at us. But nobody's perfect. He'll always bring you back. You just got to have that faith. The faith the size of a mustard seed. And he'll bring you back. I promise you, He'll bring you back. And so any problems that you're having, you know, this world, man, it's getting worse and worse by the minute. There's a lot of hate. There's a lot of division. A lot going on right now. But if we just hold steady to the Word of God and know that He is God and He has control over everything, we'll get through anything. just have love in your heart. You know, I don't know why there's so much hate in the world right now. I don't know why there's so much division in the world right now. Seems like everything is, you know, Democrat, Republican. If you're not a Democrat, you're sheep. If you're not a Republican, you're sheep. If you're, you know, there's just so much division in the world over two parties that don't give two craps about anybody but themselves. We just come together as a nation. We come together as a world and just love each other. No matter the color of your skin, no matter content of your character, you know, that's the thing, you know, Dr. King was always preaching about, like, it should be about the color of your skin. It should be about the content of their character. You know, you treat me good, I'm going to treat you good. And that's how it should be. It's not like that right now in the world, and hasn't been like it for a while, but it's getting better, I feel like. But we just be still, know that He is God, and just love one another. This world will become a better place. I know I'm rambling, but guys, if this podcast resonates with you, man, share it with somebody, you know. Send me a message. You know, I'll try to answer your questions. If you got any questions, I'll try to answer your questions the best I can. I'm no preacher at all. I'm not a preacher. I know the Bible pretty decent. I wouldn't say I'm a Bible scholar or nothing like that. But just growing up in the church and being in the church as much as I've been, you know, you pick up on a few things. But yeah, just share this with somebody. You know, if this resonates with you, you know, this podcast might help somebody out. If this podcast helps one person, you know, get through something, you know, I've done my job. I just wanted to get this out there because it's been on my heart. Thank you guys so much for all the support that you've given me, all the kind words that you guys have given me. I had Mr. Anthony Dale on last week, down there in Mississippi, man. And, you know, he told me that he listens to my podcast often and stuff like that. And OGs like that, man, like, I can't tell you how much it means to me that to hear somebody say that they listen to me while they're riding down the road or while they're at work. Or while they're cleaning the kitchen, while they're cleaning the house, like, you guys don't know how much that means to me. And I just thank you guys for that. You know, I started We Do This Too Outdoors just to showcase that African Americans are outdoorsmen as well as our white counterparts. And I think I've done a pretty decent job at that, as well as some of my other buddies, you know, Trey, Jay Cam. You know, Lathan Buckley, 24/7 Hunt Boys, Easy Living, Kenton Bottoms, you know, the Dark Willie Nelson. People like that, man. You know, I met a lot of good people doing what I do through this podcast and just through the outdoors. You know, black, white, yellow, I've met them all, and they have been nothing but gracious. They've been nothing but helpful. I just want to thank you guys for that. So keep on supporting me. I'll do the same with you. If I can ever be a help to anybody, if you just need an ear to talk to somebody, if you just need me to listen, if you need somebody just to talk to, I don't care what time of night it is. Send me a message on Instagram. I'll shoot you my phone number. We'll connect. You know, I'm all about helping people. You know, that's just what I do. That's what I was born and raised to do. If somebody needs your help, you do the best you can to help them. I grew up on a tobacco farm. So once we got done with our crop, we went and helped somebody else. If somebody needed help, we wouldn't help them. You know, that's just what it was, a small town Kentucky and small town farmer community. That's what you did. So, yeah, share this with somebody. And if I can do anything to help anybody, you just guys reach out to me. Thank you for the support. This podcast will be out on Apple Music or Apple Podcast, excuse me, Spotify, and my personal YouTube channel. So go there and like, subscribe, leave me a 5-star review. It helps out the podcast. It helps out, helps me out. Big shout out to Sportsman's Empire. If you haven't looked up Sportsman's Empire, it's the biggest podcast network, I think, in the outdoor world. Shout out to Dan Johnson, Nine Finger Chronicles, for allowing me to have a platform to do this. I was doing it by myself there for a while. Dan reached out to me, and we've been rocking and rolling ever since. I think I'm 35 or 36 episodes in on Apple and Spotify. And I just want to say big shout out to Dan Johnson. Thank you so much. Shout out to Mark Kenyon too. I sent him a message a while back with some questions and stuff like that. And he gave me some fantastic answers. Lake Pickle, he's been a big inspiration as well. All those guys, man. Dark Willie Nelson, Trey, the Dreaded Archer, he's my homeboy. He's helped me out a lot. Just there's a lot of people. If I'm missing somebody, I apologize, but a lot of you have helped me out through my journey. I just can't say thank you enough. So big game, small game, all game, we do this too.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
I saw this app.
I got a hit.
In the new limited series, DTF St. Louis, Jason Bateman, David Harbour, and Linda Cardellini star as three suburbanites who spice up their love lives.
Wow.
Don't miss the new HBO original limited series, DTF St. Louis, premiering March 1st on HBO Max.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.